Welcome back to another Future Sox podcast. I'm your host, Clinton Cole. Joining me on Skype now, it is Dash pitcher Will Kincannon. Will down in Lynchburg right now, team playing the Hillcats. Will, thanks for taking some time here this Saturday afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Clint.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've got a lot of a nice, interesting history. I know you grew up in the Chicagoland area. So before we get to on the field stuff, let's talk about how you got to the Dash and the Sox organization. For the fans out there that may not know where you came from, kind of give everyone kind of your background.
Definitely a Chicago kid. Had a weird college career, kind of. Went to Middle Tennessee State out of high school. I really liked the pitching coach there. The coach left, so then I transferred back home to Triton Junior College right near my house. My dad actually got drafted out of there by the Cincinnati Reds, so we kind of had a family history there in a way. Played 2 years there. Got drafted by the Dodgers out of my sophomore year. Elected not to sign and go to Indiana State for 1 year, which was a great decision, learned a lot. And then got picked by the White Sox, and obviously it was a blessing to get drafted by your hometown team. Yeah, they had a good year. I mean, they have some of the best coaches in the country. I mean, obviously, you don't think of Indiana State and the Missouri Valley as a powerhouse baseball conference, but, I mean, there's some really good talent there, obviously. Our first round pick that year, my year, was Berger, who was in my conference as well. And yeah, I mean, it's a great baseball conference, and Indiana State's all trending upwards for sure.
So you, Bears fan, Bulls fan?
Mm-hmm. All of it. Big Bears fan, big Bulls fan, big White Sox fan growing up. So
you excited for Bears training camp here then?
Oh, 100%. I can't wait for opening night Bears Packers for sure.
All right, let's talk a little baseball. You with the Dash. I talked with you a little bit last year in Kannapolis, and then now you're with the Dash. So, you know, something I've asked everyone, whether it be a pitcher or a position player, is I guess the biggest difference moving up from Kannapolis to Winston-Salem for you.
I think it's just, obviously the facilities and things like that. Winston-Salem's beautiful. The league you play a lot of same guys that are in low A. I think it's just getting used to the professional season this time. So, I mean, this is my second time around full season. Obviously, last year I was hurt to start the year in Kannapolis. So, myself just grinding through a whole full season is just getting used to that and knowing what I have to do, prepare my body every day. And not doing too much is one thing I've been known to do over in the past, is do too much and not be able to recover in time, things like that. So, I was learning your body and learning how to take the toll out of a 140-game schedule.
Go back to the not doing too much stuff. Do you mean in games
in
or outside
room,
of games or what?
In the weight room. I'm a big guy that likes to lift and work out, but sometimes too much is during the season can be detrimental instead of beneficial for sure. And then maybe too much throwing, too much long toss. I'm a weighted balls guy. I do a little bit of that. Like just learning to tone it down, be more ready to pitch in the game than you're in training. You're ready to pitch in the game. That's why you're there. So be more focused on that.
Yeah. So going back to college, were you a starter or did you come out of the pen too?
Yeah, I was a starter. I started in Indiana State. I was a Friday guy for that one season. And then I actually got drafted by the White Sox as a starter. But I think they just liked how my stuff played in the bullpen. And they thought it'd be a better role for me. And hopefully it makes me move up quicker and I could help this team out. So
what do you, obviously it's two different things, completely different things, but mm-hmm. How do you, first of all, do you like it? I mean, obviously you're excelling in it, but you know, everyone wants to start and all that other good stuff, but, and then what kind of adjustments did you have to make?
Okay. So that was a huge adjustment for sure. Obviously when you're starting, you get the game plan, everything you possibly do, multiple days, you know exactly when you're throwing, like, you know, you're throwing in between your sides, your long toss, your lifting program. So then when I got to Great Falls and I got put in the bullpen, I was just having a huge long program to having shortened up by like a little bit of time. And it was definitely tough to get used to. At first I didn't love it. Even last year was a challenge for me because I was still used to being such a starter's routine. But I mean, as it's gone on, I mean, I've really learned how to, what I need to do to be ready to go in the game and be prepared every day to pitch. And, I mean, like I said, at first it wasn't great, but now I really feel like I'm right at home and I feel comfortable in the roles. And even if, like before, if I had to get ready in 3 minutes to go in the game, I would have been super rattled and mentally not ready to go in. But now it's just like, it's just another day. You're still pitching. It's the same thing. So
let me ask you this. A lot of guys at your level and then moving on up, did they start out as, I know everyone's different, but did they start out as starters, or is a lot of them start in the pen? Or like,
I feel like a lot of guys are different. So we had a guy, I mean, there's guys on our team, a lot of them like started growing up, and then as they got to college and bigger programs and things like that, I think they started to move into the bullpen if that's what they're going to be. Like Tyler Johnson, I talked to a little bit. He said he made a couple starts in college, but he's pretty much in the bullpen the whole time. I never really had that until I got to Pro Bowl, like I said. But, yeah, I think everyone's story is different for sure. But I think I'm where I'm supposed to be now.
Did going back to Tyler, I think Tyler told me the story. Did he tell you about one of those starts he made?
He told me one of them he did really well. And
it was like in a conference tournament or in a super regional or something.
Yeah, yeah, yep. I do remember him talking.
He was just like
story.
Lights out or something. It was just incredible.
He threw like a one hitter or something.
Yeah, that dude's a special talent.
That's basic
for sure.
Tyler Johnson. No, yeah. That's what he does. He just shows. So
he's a very good pitcher. So another thing I want to ask you about you know, going from a starter to reliever. As a starter, you know, generally starters have more pitches than relievers, if you know, just as a true reliever and stuff. So how does that work in your advantage?
So it's funny because in college I was a sinker, changeup, slider guy with an okay slider and a pretty good changeup. It's funny as I went through the bullpen. I mean, my velocity is probably a little bit harder than it was in college out of the bullpen, but my slider has probably turned into my best pitch, which in college it wasn't very good. Made some adjustments with that, and it's really turned into my best pitch. And then I'm more throw my curveball now, slider curveball instead of a slider changeup. The changeup is kind of faded away out of the bullpen, but I still use it at times to lefties and things like that. But I'm mostly sinker, curveball, slider. So I mean, it definitely changed my repertoire because I think if I was still starting, I'd have to use my changeup more and things like that. But if you're in the big leagues, watch a lot of these big league guys. I mean, they're two pitch guys with a third pitch that they use every once in a while. So it's definitely changed my repertoire for sure.
So you said you added a few more miles per hour to your fastball. Is that because of work, or is that because you're more max effort out of the pen? You don't have to throw 7 innings.
So, I mean, as a starter in Indiana State, I was probably mostly 92, 94. Like, I would get up to 97, but now you come in the game for 2-3 innings, like, or 1-2 innings, and you kind of just show them your best stuff and attack with your best stuff. So I would say I'm more like mid-90s, 94, 96-ish, and then touch of 97. My peak's pretty much the same, but I just live at a harder velocity with my sinkers. So I think it's just a shorter burst. So you know you're coming in the game. You don't have to prepare to pitch 7, 8, 9 innings. So you can just give it everything you got for those couple.
So you mentioned when I asked you about moving up levels, you said, you know, you played a lot of these guys in low A. Well, the same goes for you guys, because you've got a lot of the same teammates you had in Kannapolis. So how does that help you and in Jersh as well?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps having Jersh. I mean, obviously he knows a lot of these hitters and he knows tendencies. We have a lot of heat maps and spray charts and things like that. I think it just helps. I mean, as you see more and more players and more really good players and big leaguers and things like that, it helps to know that, I mean, no matter what, hitting is still hard. I mean, me and Steele talk about it all the time. He goes, man, well, y'all pitchers give guys way too much credit sometimes in the box. Like, hitting is hard. He goes, well, if you're facing anybody, just go in there and just, like, attack them with your stuff, and that you're gonna be successful. Like, and I'm like, yeah, Steele, you're 100% right. Like, no matter what, we still have the advantage. So, I mean, I think last year and in years past, I tried to do too much, try to overthrow and paint corners when I don't really need to. I just need to attack guys in the zone and get ahead and actually pitch instead of throw. And that's one of the big adjustments I made this year.
So you're having a good season. You know, you're excelling in Winston-Salem. I mean, obviously you've got your health. As you mentioned, last year you started out hurt. Mm-hmm. But what's been your biggest key to success, I guess, this year?
I made some mechanical changes with Zaleski. early in the year that's really helped clean up my delivery. JR and Champ helped me a little bit with that as well last offseason. I think I really helped it. I took the windup totally out of my repertoire, so now I'm just straight out of the stretch. It's really cleaned it up and made it easier to command the ball and throw strikes. just attacking with my sinker. And like I said, really knowing what I need to do to be successful instead of winging it out there and just trying to overthrow and overpower guys. It's just more basically being actual a pitcher this year. I feel like in the years past, like I said, I've been a thrower. And watching guys like on my team actually pitching, how they go through a game has really helped. Like watching guys like Cade's a big pitcher guy. I mean, he pitches four pitches. I mean, commands the zone, competes. I mean, obviously, I had guys like Battenfield and Hensman early in the year doing the same thing. And then we had guys in the bullpen. I mean, at Cody Hoyer, who was a last year's draft pick, who's really excelled and made the double already. Just working with guys like that and just watching them and how they attack guys has really helped me, even if they are younger than me or older, really learn the game and learn how I need to pitch.
Let's go back to Cade for a second. A guy that last year, you guys were in Kannapolis, but then he suffered that ridiculous injury, that freak accident, uh-huh. Basically. You know, just you wouldn't even – I mean, I was there at that game, and I watched it. I was like – and you knew something was wrong, but it was just like you didn't expect it to be that. So, but,
yeah.
You know, a guy that's come back strong, and he's done such an excellent job.
Yeah.
So what makes Cade so special, I guess, from your vantage point?
I mean, Cade does everything really well as a pitcher. I mean, nothing. He's not going to throw 99 miles an hour and blow guys away with triple digits heat and things like that. But I mean, he just can command his fastball, attack hitters. He's not going to beat himself, which is a big thing. Pitchers often do is beating themselves. He's not going to beat himself. I mean, he's got a good slider, good curveball, good changeup. I mean, he's got four pitches he could beat you with at any time, and he competes, man. I mean, obviously him playing in the ACC at Louisville. Great program. You have to compete at a place like that. And I mean, you know what you're getting with Cade. The thing about him, he's so consistent. So every time he goes out there, you think your team has a chance to win.
One thing I wanted to bring up, so you said he doesn't throw 99. So one thing I was trying to tell the listeners and stuff, you know, I, you know, didn't play at any level like you guys, but I do know that with Cade being 6'7", you know, that release point is so much further out in front that it seems faster. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of explain how that works?
Yeah, he's a tall, lanky kid, so he's got a really good extension on the baseball. So when he's throwing that fastball, and he's a guy with good ride to his fastball, so his fastball plays really well up in the zone. When you watch from the dugout, I mean, you look at the scoreboard, say he'll throw a fastball at 92 or whatever, and your guy will swing at it like it's 95, like just taking bad swings at it. And it does look like it gets on him quicker just because his mechanics are very smooth. And like I said, he's got great extension. So the ball definitely gets you on it quicker when you're a taller guy like him.
Obviously, friends with Mitch. We'll go back to the Bears for a second. Friends with Mitch, you guys talk Bears.
Yeah. Oh, we talk Bears all the time. All the time. For the first year, I was always asking, what's Trubisky doing? Like, but
I feel like
I'm
a fan, yeah.
Trubisky's good. Yeah, 100%. But I always like to get on Cade's case a little bit because he's a huge LeBron guy and a huge Jordan guy. So, I mean, we're definitely always talking Bears. I'm always hoping for the best.
Awesome. All right, let's – a couple more things, and I'll let you go. So two more questions for you. So
okay.
what does Will do on a day like today, you know, before a game and you threw two nights ago, right? So –
You might
get into the game tonight or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You know, you're not hitting the bus till, you know, another half hour, so 3:15 bus time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing all day? And then what are you doing in the off season for fun?
Typical day at the field on a road day is usually wake up for the gym at about 10. We go to a gym bus till probably 11:30. Usually
no,
my
what
roommate
are you doing
Craig
at the
and
gym?
I.
Are you running? Are you lifting? What are you doing there?
We're lifting, doing mobility stuff, getting the hips going. Just the basic lifts, like our upper body lift, lower body lift, depending on what you're due for on that specific day. We do our conditioning at the field. And then my roommate, Craig Gilo, and I would go get lunch. And then he's a big, like, chill on his phone, like, on his iPad guy. Well, but I'm sleeping 100% after that food. So I like to get in pregame nap in, and then we'll head to the field and then do everything we need to do there to get there. So
Craig and I, you guy, I'm a Purdue guy. You're an Indiana State guy. So you guys
talk
trash to each other.
Indiana flavor. Yeah, we talk a lot of smack to each other. He tries to call Indiana State the sister school in baseball, but I feel like every time Indiana State plays Indiana, we play them twice a year, and it's either Indiana State beats them 1-2 or 2-2. So I don't understand how that works. But yeah, I mean, me and Craig are boys. We've been boys since Great Falls. We've been together every year, so that's one of my boys on the team for sure. And I mean, they have a good relationship. We're going to a couple weddings together this offseason, things like that. So
last thing for you. I know you want to get to AA, and then obviously spring training next year, and then all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
But what do you, and you want to help the team win, you know, all those great things. But what do you need to do to move forward and to improve and to get better and all that good stuff? I mean, you stay consistent in what you're doing, but what do you think is the biggest improvement you need to make?
I think, honestly, it's funny because the first half of the season I had really good numbers. I don't even know if my numbers are as good this half as they were last half, but I feel like I've thrown the ball light years better this half than I had last half. So I just need to maintain consistency, be the same guy every time I get out there, maintain my stuff. Obviously, don't be myself. Walks have been a Achilles heel for mine in the past, but I really feel like I've started to figure some things out in my delivery, and it's been easier to command the ball and throw strikes to both sides of the plate with multiple pitches. So, and then obviously, once the season's over and carrying into the off season, obviously just continue to try to get better, work on my body, get stronger, more explosive, and then obviously go into spring training ready to go and hopefully open some eyes and contribute at the next level, whatever that is.
One of your goals should be to go to the Super Bowl and the Bears play this year. How's that sound?
Yeah, exactly. In February.
All right, February. Man, this has been fun. I really appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way, man.
Thank you, Clint. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Will Kincannon from the Winston-Salem Dash here on the Future Sox podcast.